Hi, folks, and welcome back to Unseen, the podcast where we chat about some of the brilliant projects happening at Queen's Hall Arts Centre, the creative heart of the community. And each episode, we'll go behind the scenes and lift the curtain on the graft and inspiration that it takes to turn amazing ideas into amazing projects. And as well as bringing you wonderful interviews and stories, we're also going to be doing a bit of a Queen's Hall newsletter each month to keep you updated on some of the amazing things going on here that you can enjoy. And for those of you that have not listened before, I'm Bridie, and I'm here this time with the lovely Kelly France, who I think, now tell me if I'm wrong, Kelly, is it Marketing Manager of Queen's Hall? Is that your title? Or have I completely made that up?
I generally say I lead on all things marketing. So I think we can go with marketing lead. Yes, yes.
Marketing lead. There we go. So Kelly, should we just sort of dive in and talk about, have a little bit of a roundup of some of the amazing things going on in the next couple of weeks? Because I know we've got quite a diverse programme this month, haven't we?
We have, yeah. It's a really interesting month as we kind of get into the dark winter nights. We've got a really special event coming that I really wanted to talk about, mainly because we were a bit sneaky and slipped it in after the brochures went to print. So yeah, I just really want to make sure everyone's aware about it. So we've got climber Paul Pritchard coming, who's going to talk about his new book, The Mountain Path. The inspiration behind the book was in, I think it was 1998, Paul had a horrific head injury. A TV landed on Paul's head from a 25 metre height.
Oh my word.
Yeah. And he was actually told by doctors he would never walk or even talk again, but has since made a truly inspirational, unbelievable return to climbing. Like, he's back on mountains climbing again, and actually taking other people with disabilities on climbs and, goodness, yeah, doing really amazing work. So that's the inspiration behind his new book, The Mountain Path. And he's going to be at Queen's Hall on Saturday, the 19th of November. And he's going to do some readings from his new book. He's going to show us some film clips and some slides from his collection, which should be really interesting. And there's also going to be an opportunity at the end of the event to ask Paul any of kind of your burning questions and find out more about his experiences. So, wow. Yeah.
That sounds so inspiring.
Yeah, massively inspiring. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Kind of gone against the odds, really, really has. We know our audiences really look forward to our Brit Rock Film Festival that kind of travels the UK, and we always screen it every year. And we just, I think this is a really lovely chance for that climbing audience to come back to the venue, another excuse to visit Queen's Hall again and just hear from Paul.
That sounds absolutely amazing. God, I think I'm going to take the trip from Newcastle to see that, because that just sounds totally, totally brilliant. And we've got some great music coming up this month as well, haven't we?
Yes. At the end of the month, at the end of November, we've got India Electric Company, who bring their really unique blended sounds, I think it's fair to say, to Hexham. And they've just actually recently supported Midura on tour across Europe. So they're back in the UK and touring across all of the venues, and they're heading our way soon. So we're really excited to have the duo with us. Yeah, and just feedback for their tour is amazing. I think they're not to be missed.
Yeah. Amazing. And I think there's a few interesting theatre productions, isn't there, as well?
There's a lot. There's a returning
Elysium. Yeah, we've got the wonderful returning company Elysium back, haven't we?
Yeah, they're quite regulars to Queen's Hall.
Yeah, they are.
They're featured on our podcast before. This time they're bringing Reva Tales from the Borders. And it sees actually Mickey Cochrane, who people will know from Carrie and David. He performed here last year. And two other Northeast performers, Stephen Stobbs and Karen Trainer. And they're each going to star in, it's a kind of trio of writing from writer Steve Byron, some dark new plays. Yeah, actually Steve performed, here's a little fact, Steve performed at Queen's Hall the first time he'd ever performed on stage in 1985.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So he's really excited to be bringing his own writing to our stage. And it's selling amazingly well. So I think there's a real appetite to see his work. Yeah. He's got a real name for himself, not just in the Northeast.
Yeah.
And I think it's, each of the plays is, I think it's going to be quite gritty and dark. It's about a family that terrorized the Anglo-Scottish borders around the 17th century. And I think Elysium have released little bits and bobs online from it during COVID and during the lockdown. So I think there's a real appetite to kind of see the work on stage. Yeah, really excited.
Can I just also just chip in to say that if people are more interested in finding out more about how Elysium was formed and how they work as a company creatively, there is a really fantastic interview with their director, Jake Murray, on, is it the October edition or maybe it's even the September? No, it's the September, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, if you go back on the site, Bekele will be able to tell you exactly how to access it. But there's a really, really fantastic interview with Jake Murray about their production of The Doll's House and about the company more widely.
More generally, yeah. 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 So if you go on to Queen's Hall's website, queenshall.co.uk, and check out the Unseen podcast page, you can listen to previous episodes on there. And it should be pretty clear which one it is.
Amazing. And there was something else. I'm afraid you're going to have to help me, Kelly, because I'm not sure I'm saying this right. Gobskius Heartfelt? Have I said it right?
Yeah. Brownie point for you. So we've had to reschedule Gobskius Heartfelt a few times now due to you know what. So we're delighted to finally be bringing it to our stage. It's going to be in the studio. And if you haven't visited our studio since it got refurbed last year, I think it's the perfect excuse to pay us a visit and kind of check out the amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yes. And it's a really intimate space, which I think lends its hand to this show really well. It promises to be an inventive show. It's a disability-led show about hearts and heartlessness, and is getting amazing feedback from the tour so far that it kind of challenges perceptions, but in a really comfortable way. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's one not to be missed. It's a solo show as well. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out with just one performer.
Yeah. God, just such interesting mixed programming at Queen's Hall. It's just always so exciting kind of going on the website and seeing all the different things that are coming. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I think there should always be something for everyone.
Yeah, totally.
And I think this season is definitely a mixed bag that everyone should be able to find something that they want to come along to, I think.
Yeah, or just kind of take a bit of a punt and just come and see something.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So this particular episode of the podcast, we're doing a bit of a focus on a particular production, which is the amazing Roma by choreographer Anthony. Now, I've been practicing saying Anthony's name because it's a bit tricky, the pronunciation. Anthony Lo Giudice, is that right?
Yes. Anthony Lo Giudice. Well done. Another brownie
Thank
point.
You.
You're on fire.
I'm seriously slick today. and I had the complete honour of interviewing Anthony about his new dance piece, Roma, which is doing a fairly big tour around the Northeast this year, but before Christmas. And yeah, we're just really excited for you to get to hear it. So here you go. Here's my interview with Anthony coming up now. So we are here today with the wonderful Anthony Lo Giudice, and we are just so, so happy to have you with us. Thank you so much for sparing the time, Anthony.
Oh, thanks, Bridie.
And what we normally do on this podcast is we start just with... just for you to kind of introduce yourself in your own words and tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. So I'm Anthony Lo Giudice. I am from the northeast of England. So I grew up in Middlesbrough, but I'm also from Sicily as well. So I am a self-defined Anglo-Sicilian smoggy.
I love it.
I work as a dancer for a living. And under that umbrella of being a dancer, I am a teacher, I am a performer, and I'm also a choreographer. And I've done all of this in the Northeast as well, which I'm quite proud about. Even though my work... is presented nationally and internationally, I'm really passionate about contributing to the cultural sector of the Northeast. So I've taught a lot of people in Tyne and Wear. I worked as a choreographer for the past 10 years, predominantly in Tyne and Wear, from dance organisations and theatres to little school halls and village halls. And then I take said work across the country and across the world. So, yeah, Anglo-Sicilian smoggy that makes dance, tours dance, and proudly lives in the Northeast.
Oh, you know what? I'm always just so happy when people say that, when the people say that they're proud to be from here, because I think it's fair to say we do get a little bit of a, we do get a bit of a bad rep sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I completely agree. I've spent my cultural life here as well, and I wouldn't be anywhere else. I absolutely love it. I love how diverse it is, how supportive it is, how sort of bonkers it is. It just makes me really, really happy.
We're really privileged because we kind of live in this, for want of a better word, we live in this slight bubble, because we're not like really in a, we're not obviously southern centric and, you know, places where it's really saturated, like somewhere like London or even Manchester and Leeds. Like, we kind of are in this space where we can work or dance to the beat of our own drum, so to speak. And that can bring out some incredible art sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, we were really lucky to like live where we live in the sense of how close we are to the countryside, how close we are to the ocean, and all these incredible places that we have access to. Great airport, great train service when they're not on strike.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. And you can see the influences often of living here in the work of a lot of creative people, which is really exciting as well. And there's something very liberating about making work that you're not constantly thinking, oh, people are watching me and judging that. And I totally agree. So the reason that you're here chatting with us today, obviously just because it's lovely to have a chat, but very specifically, you are bringing your new piece of work to Queen's Hall on I believe it's the 2nd of December, your new piece, Roma, which is really, really exciting. And there's much buzz about this. It's just so exciting to see this happening. I know that, correct me if I'm wrong, but has it already sold out in some places, including Durham Cathedral? Is that right?
Yeah, Durham Cathedral has sold out, which is fabulous. Yeah. And Dance City in Newcastle-upon-Tyne is pretty close to selling out, which is wonderful.
I think I may have got the last two tickets for that, Anthony.
Good. And then we're also performing at York Minster, which is starting to sell really well. I think people are just, people want to see dance. And, you know, dance historically has this reputation of being a little bit of a hard sell. And, you know, part of me's always been like, why? People love dance. Like, you know, if we talk in the simplest way possible, like, people love something like Strictly on TV. People love to watch dance. The added extra for this one, which is like a double whammy plus, is that we have live music from incredible musicians as well. So we have
such incredible musicians.
I'm really lucky. We've been privileged to be able to work with Bradley Kresick and Brendan Murphy, who I have watched from afar for so many years. I actually remember being an usher when I was a student at Sage Gateshead and watching Northern Symphonia play. I'd be like, oh my gosh, that man is incredible. And now he's in a work that I'm creating. Like, how does this happen, Bridie? It's really great. And Brendan as well. Like, watching Brendan in so many shows, being like, my gosh, that man is so talented. But that also extends to the rest of the cast. Caroline Reese, who's performing in Roma, is probably most well known for her work with Ballet Lorraine. And she was my teacher when I was a student.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And all the performers I've looked up to in some way, or really, you know, I've really watched them from afar with admiration. And then to have them all in a room with me going, okay, so what are we doing? I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, I think a big pull on this one and why it's selling so well is you know, maybe it's the story, but I would like to think it was. And people want to see dance as well, which I really believe. But also, you know, how often do we get to see some of the Northeast's finest performers in one show? I say that suddenly having like butterflies in my stomach the breath of it, but yeah, they're incredible. And I think a lot of people, as soon as I like mention the cast, go, wow, that's like the creme to the creme. And they are, you know, Bridie, they're the most humble people. And I'm, you know, every day I go into the studio, I'm just so incredibly privileged to be in their presence, which doesn't help sometimes when difficult decisions have to be made about work and you go, I want to cut that, but it's so lovely. They're incredible. And I think that's a big pull as well, why people are interested.
Well, I mean, you're saying that's a big pull, and of course it's part of it. But I also think that the fact that the storyline is so deeply, deeply personal and also very relevant to now is another reason that it's attracting people's attention. And for those people that don't know anything about that, perhaps you could give us just a little bit of a synopsis about what it's about, the storyline, the inspiration behind it.
Yeah. Roma is a piece that was inspired by my parents. So they were each other's first loves and it ended very badly. My dad is, as I said before, my dad is from Palermo, so he's from the south of Italy. And my mum is from Middlesbrough. She's from the north of England. And they fell in love with someone who wasn't part of their culture. And just, you know, just from the north of England to the south of Italy, vastly different way of seeing the world and experiencing the world. And it was too much for them. So subsequently, they broke up, and the children that they had together went back to England to live in Middlesbrough. So that's why I'm here. So the work is really... I would say the backbone of it is their stories about one another. So what I did was, for want of a better word, I sent them both a questionnaire about each other or about their memories of one another.
Wow.
And the exact same questions were answered in very different ways. So they both have very different accounts of what happened. And they still care very deeply about one another, but they haven't seen each other in 30 years. And so much time has gone by. And I also found that quite inspiring, how, you know, everyone in the world has someone in their lives from 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago that they see in a certain way. But when if they ever meet up with them, more often than not, like... We're different people and they're different people. So we kind of have these images about things in our head that we hold on to. So the work is really about, it's about the memory of heartbreak and breakup, essentially.
Oh my goodness.
But it's the story of family as well, and like what family means to people, and, you know, how the memories of my mum and dad have also shaped me as a person. Like that feeds into the work quite a lot. So... you know, growing up in Middlesbrough, you know, I'm very proud, Smoggy, but Middlesbrough was, you know, it was one of the most socially deprived areas in the country. And to grow up there and feel like you didn't belong there, when you kind of know you didn't belong there because you were from somewhere else, and to you know, to really struggle to have an upbringing anyway, and then kind of have the jostle of cultural divide define your upbringing as well. God, this sounds so grim. There is joy in the work as well. But there's, you know, there's a real, the retrospective is kind of trying to, it's like trying to find grounding and trying to find a sense of belonging in a place where you don't quite fit in. And even though that's personal to me and the kind of the blueprint of the work is my story, you know, everybody feels like that at some point in their life. Everyone feels like they don't fit in with their own family sometimes, or they don't belong, or the journey that they're going on in life seems to have gone a little bit awry somewhere and then trying to find grounding a little bit. I'm sure you know this, Bridie, but you know that instrument that you kind of, actually, I feel like it's a science instrument, but you tap it and it vibrates really quickly and it's like a pronged fork.
Oh, yeah. What is that? What is it called? If only Brendan was here, he would know.
Brendan would know it. Come on, Brendan. But it's
Brendan, tweet it. Yeah,
it's a little bit like that. So like that kind of feeling of like, that's how I feel when I'm making the work, or tectonic plates. It's like something is not quite right all the time in these memories that these two people are talking about with one another. And it's an hour of that. But also like family, when we talk about memories of people, you know, especially when it's people we love, of course we talk about the bad times, but we also hold on to those good times. Everybody holds on to the good times with people. So there's a lot of joy and laughter in the work as well. So, yeah.
I mean, just hearing about it, like just hearing you talk about it, I can feel like I'm becoming intense, like I'm feeling very emotional just hearing about it. And I can't even imagine, if it's not too personal a question, how emotional this must be for your parents.
Yeah, I mean...
I wonder...
The plan is that they were going to, after 30 years of not seeing each other, and kind of living in this place where they can't get closure or resolution with each other, because the last time... So what actually happened was when my mum and dad really had it, like when it was enough, I think my dad had went to work, and he came home and his wife and children were gone. And they've never seen each other since. So they kind of both still, no matter how many years have passed, they still live in that place with one another where 30 years ago in the middle of Italy in some tiny village somewhere, my dad said goodbye to my mum, went to work, and my mum got on a flight and went home because she'd had enough. And they still live in that place a little bit together. And strangely, I feel like I don't have much. I was about five, but I kind of live in that place a little bit. So it's that thing of, it's not the sliding doors moment, but maybe it's that thing of there's this constant loop where like every day something happens when you're talking to family or kind of just going about your day and you're reminded of like, of why you are where you are and, you know, it is the sliding doors kind of feeling. It's the Barbie going, you know, the film with Gwyneth Paltrow and then the doors
close. Yeah, exactly.
It's that. Yeah. So like, you know, I'm here in the Northeast because my mum and dad essentially could not make it work. But I wasn't born here. And really, if they'd have made it work, I would have, you know, chances are I would never have lived here. I wouldn't be speaking English. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think it's personal to them as well because, you know, the plan is that they would get together for one show and watch it together. They would very much like to do that. Logistically, I think if they can do it, I'm not sure. Wow. But that's the plan. But I also think they have a sense of pride as well in terms of, you know, kind of me forging a bit of an identity as an artist and being able to tell not only it's like a triptych, it's their stories but it's my story as well. So it's how the three of us kind of orbit around one another in how family has shaped us as a mother, father and son.
Absolutely. That is, and I think the thing that I find really fascinating about it as a concept is it's operating at two levels, isn't it? Because there's the intensely personal story, which is, I guess, the heart of it. Mm-hmm. But then there's another layer, which I know you've talked about in interviews, which is that you've kind of said that it's also about exploring identity borders and what it means to call a place home, especially at a time when these subjects are really very pertinent in Britain today. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you're kind of tackling both of those things simultaneously a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're coming out organically from the work. So I think what I'm really keen not to do is to which is quite hard when you're making work because you kind of have to say what the work is about before you've made it. So I know those things are in the work, but I've never gone into the studio and forced it to come out. I've kind of just hoped that it will come out through the story because I know it's there. So yes, I think we explore what home means and we explore topics that are that are quite hard to talk about in contemporary Britain today. But they're explored in so many different ways. It's subtle sometimes the way it's explored. So, for example, the music, you know, these absolute gods of music that I have, you know, everything that they have created is a hybrid of old English music or music from the British Isles and...
Oh, wow.
And it's blended with Southern Italian music and musical instruments and, gosh, I hope I'm going to say these right words, but, you know, like the rhythms and, you know, the music is very distinct and it's quite subtle. Maybe you wouldn't know it unless I said, I'm sure a lot of people will, but it's those two cultures and musically they've kind of been put in a pot and stirred together. And sometimes that just is incredible. And then sometimes it's intentionally jarring. Something is not quite right. Yeah. Something is not working. And also what, like, the sense of home for a lot of us, especially after the pandemic, is we see home as, you know, it's not just the bricks and mortar that we live in, but it's the family, whether that's biological or a chosen family. So when we explore what it means to call home, we explore the jostles of family quite a lot. And the relationships between people on stage are explored in both good and bad ways. So there are times when you get a sense of real harmony and grounding and love with people on stage. And there are times when you sense that these people don't connect and maybe someone doesn't like someone or someone doesn't want to be around someone. I guess that's, you know, essentially it's like fitting in, finding your tribe. We explore those themes, but we've tried to do it in a way that it hasn't been forced, because that, you know, this idea of borders and nationality and family is something that every single person on the planet can experience. It's not exclusive to anybody. We all experience not feeling like we belong somewhere, especially in Britain. Like, you know, I one of the reasons I wanted to make Roma Now, or that it really started to kind of, something was ignited in my brain, was around the time of Brexit. And it's such an ugly word, and it's still such an ugly word, but this idea, and just kind of the rhetoric that surrounded it, and I saw it as a lens of someone who's, you know, if my dad comes to England to visit, he does not look English and he does not sound English, and I'm so proud to be where I am from, but for someone from, you know, my dad wouldn't come here and feels like he completely belongs. He would feel out of place. And that also is the same as sometimes when I go to the south of Italy, I think, gosh, I look and sound so English. But yeah, like Brexit really kind of did light a little bit of a flame to want to make a work like this. And, you know, to explore what it meant to be British without really forcing it.
It's just really interesting. And I wonder if dance is a really, and music are such brilliant mediums as art forms for exploring this stuff, because they're a little bit less prescriptive than the spoken word. So there's more space for people to evoke their own thoughts. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I guess I'm posing that as a question, really.
Yeah, I would say it absolutely is. I would say it absolutely is. I think, because also we can really explore ideas in a much more, we can go so much more in depth sometimes, because we our parameters can be quite open. You know, we have a different, we're not waving, you know, in Roma, for example, we're not waving an Italian flag around and an English flag around. And we could do if we wanted to, and you know, so many artists could make that incredible. But what we're doing is we're exploring it through music and sp- spatial dimension between people on stage and words and memories about not fitting in with someone or not belonging or so we explore it in a different way, I think, and dance allows that to happen, and music allows that to happen, because I think also it kind of gives something back to an audience. This isn't a completely very literal work. It doesn't move with a linear narrative, so I think that people can watch it and they can hear the music and they can remember something personally about their own experiences, or they can watch two people dancing on stage and, you know, as a choreographer and director, you know, it's not my place to dictate what people what they see is happening is in a relationship between two people. So for example, there's maybe a section where Caroline is playing my mum, James is one of the incredible performers who is playing me, I guess, and we've already premiered the work and we performed it somewhere, so there is this mother son relationship. But then what was really interesting is someone fed back and they saw it in a way that the mother was dancing with the memory of the father when he was younger. So people can get different things from whatever they see, and I'm totally cool with that.
not telling people how to experience it, but just letting that happen.
Absolutely.
Oh God, I'm so excited to see it, and I'm really excited to hear more about the specifically the Queen's Hall version of this show, because it's a bit different, isn't it, to the others? Is that right?
It is. What I'm so excited about with this one is that I'm going to be working with an up and coming artist called Beth Feach, and Beth Feach is from Hexham. She grew up in Hexham. And she is an emerging choreographer, so she's fantastic and she's one to watch. And I was really passionate about supporting her to develop her first work. So she has been successful in receiving Arts Council funding. She has a team of artists together, and she's made a piece of dance theatre called Waiting on It. And this piece that Beth has made will be performed in Queen's Hall as well. So Beth and her dancers and her musician Anna will perform just before Roma, and I'm really pleased Amazing. About that, because Beth is someone that I was actually teaching at QE High School when she was like 14, and I think she did one of her first dance classes with me. And I really remember her being 14, like, what am I doing? And it's just a joy to see someone locally with exceptional talent, you know, be given a platform to showcase their work to an audience. Yeah. And, you know, it's always so hard in the arts to kind of get your foot in the door.
Absolutely.
So that was one thing that I was like, you know, Beth and her group are actually joining us on a couple of performances for Roma, so they're getting to experience in their own rights what it's like to tour work and develop connections and develop audiences. So everyone watch out for Beth Feach.
But that, I think that the whole kind of ecosystem of that is really fantastic, because it sounds like, Anthony, you've got people in your ensemble who you've been inspired by, you know, your musicians that you've always loved, and you've said that you have a former teacher as part of your ensemble, is that right? Yes. But yet they've done that for you, but you're now doing it for other people, which is just really wonderful, isn't it? And that is how you keep things running and new ideas coming through, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think also now it was challenging for me 10 years ago to get my foot in the door, but now the landscape of the arts is just being tested all the time, and it's changing, and, you know, we're all really fighting to keep the arts strong and alive and thriving. But it is that extra bit harder now. And I think it's really important that, you know, some of us that do have a bit of a voice and do have kind of a little bit of clout in the arts world kind of open this space for other people as well. And it's, you know, for me, I think because of the way I got into dance and, you know, growing up in Middlesbrough, I don't think I ever, I never really had anybody to look up to. And I'm sure they were there, but I just didn't know where they were. And kind of getting my foot in the door, it was a hard process. And, you know, dance was a very freeing and liberating journey for me to find myself on. I don't know what I'd be doing now if I didn't stumble into dance. And we have to, you know, for me personally, like working as a dancer and the more years go by, the more I realize I have to give opportunity and provide exposure for those generations that I was part of, that I struggled in. I guess in a simple way, it's about giving something back, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that. Yeah, I completely agree. And I totally, totally hear what you're saying. It's so important. And it makes it more interesting too, because then you've got a greater diversity of people involved. And it's more challenging and more interesting, isn't
absolutely.
It, as well?
Absolutely.
So I've got another question for you now. So you may or may not know that this podcast is called Unseen. And the reason that it's called that is that I think there's a bit of a gap sometimes between the incredible, often very long, quite intensive process that artists go through to create pieces of work that finally make it to the stage or to the gallery or whatever for audiences to enjoy. And I think people are really interested in that process. Everyone's really interested in it. I think people that do it, people that haven't done it. And we would just love to hear a little bit about, it sounds a bit cheesy, but essentially kind of what your process is, how you create the work that you make and get it to that point where it can be enjoyed by an audience.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So for this particular work, we actually started making it in 2020. So we made dance and music in a time where we couldn't touch. We had to wear masks. We were in a bubble and we were all in the fear of COVID, because it was like, it was the kind of wintery 2020 when people were really scared. And we had some vulnerable people in our group as well. So it was so bizarre. I mean, because none of us had really seen anybody else as well. And then we got together and then we're like, okay, let's make a show, but let's not touch. And so that we started with masks on, keeping a 2 meter distance from each other. I mean, you know, it became impossible towards the end. And obviously as the rules changed, like we were able to kind of get closer and eventually touch. That's how it started. And so, you know, also in a way with Roma, I feel like because of that, we all really bonded. Like we really helped to get each other through the pandemic. And just being in a studio and making music and making dance and kind of just enjoying making art. And obviously, and it wasn't always great art, like, you know, sometimes we would all try and sing a song or Bradley was dancing, like Bradley was learning the waltz and we were learning how to play musical instruments. And, you know, there was this everyone was just so open to just trying different things. So they were just desperate to get in a room and just be creative. So it's been, this process has been so joyous. But also because they're incredible performers, as soon as the world kind of opened up again, they were all back on tour. So, if you want some of the best performers in the world, you have to be prepared to kind of work around people's schedules and tours. So, you know, quite a lot of the time we've never, when we've got to 2022, we've never really had a full cast. So we kind of imagine someone's like, imagine Bradley's but Bradley's in Spain. Oh, James is a solo here, but James is in Ireland. Oh, this is where Caroline does this. And like people are pretending to dance with people that aren't there. So we had, actually, it was in Queen's Hall. We had a full week with everybody. And we were like, which hadn't happened since 2020 or 2021. So this is like September time of 2022 when we're in Queen's Hall. We're like, oh my gosh, we're all here. How did this happen? It was crazy. We can actually, like, we don't have to imagine someone is playing music. We can hear the music. So that was a real joy. And that was at Queen's Hall, which was really gorgeous. And yeah, with this work, so usually as a choreographer, this one is a bit different for me. So I've been making work for 10 years now, and it's very movement based. So I think I've cut my teeth as a maker creating dance. Mm-hmm. This one, because it's personal, I knew I couldn't say it all through the language that I've been creating for the past 10 years as a dancer. So I wanted to say it through music and spoken word and song and props, basically through everything in the kitchen sink and trying something a bit different. But I just wanted to try and tell a story in a different way, and not just be constrained by the language of dance, even though I don't find it particularly constraining, but I think I could and I can say more with the artists in the room who are performing in the work. So yeah, this is the first time that I personally worked with or created a work with live music, and the music is being created as we're making the work. Yeah, and sometimes with a work like this, you know, with dance, a lot of dance that I've made personally is structured and it's choreographed and it's set, and that has to be done for safety reasons as well, and you know, just so we know what we're doing, so we have to make it all work. But with this one, there are moments where it's natural and it's organic and it's slightly improvised, and then we go back into something set. So we have a very clear structure of the work and it's very rigorously set. But there are points where every individual, whether that's musicians or dancers or people doing spoken word, have the opportunity to have it can meander slightly. They can kind of fall into soft improvisation, and it has that spontaneity, which is beautiful because then every performance is slightly different. And by the time we get to Queen's Hall, I think that will be maybe our seventh date, so the work feel completely I don't think it'll feel completely different, I take that back, but I think it will be because we're letting the work breathe, essentially. So new things might come out of the things that happen previous seven shows.
And you have to you don't have to, but it's often a really wonderful thing to allow, to create an infrastructure that allows for that change to happen. And because, I mean, I'm as a musician, I've never done the same gig twice. It's different every single time.
Yeah.
And often that means, like I think you alluded to it earlier, sometimes that means things don't always go brilliantly.
No,
and sometimes you do make art that's not that great. It can be quite bad at times. But I think I would rather that than it was just absolutely set.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm such a control freak as well. Like, it's something I'm really trying to get better at. Like, you know, even the performers have said to me, Anthony, chill out. They were like,
so funny.
I'm such a tidy freak as well. But like, they'll have props and then they'll leave them out and go, where are the props? Where is the corn? And I'm like, oh, put it away. They're like, why did you do that? It was there for a reason. So actually, the performers had to have a word with me one day and were like, Anthony, just mess is fine. Oh. I was like, oh gosh, no. So that's one thing as well, I've had to learn to kind of just like let go a little bit and just be like, it's fine, like we're allowed a bit of mess. So.
I love that. Oh, it has been such a total pleasure to speak to you about this. I'm just so excited for you, and I'm so excited to see it and to find out, kind of see where this goes and what you do next. You may already know what you're going to do next, or maybe you're using this process as a way of thinking about what's next. I don't know.
A little bit of both. I've been invited to be a dance representative for Reykjavik Fringe Festival, which is going to be really exciting. So in the new year, I'm going to start kind of putting a bit of a different hat on. But I also like want to keep creating work as well. Like I think after this show, Bridie, I don't think I could ever go back to making work without musicians.
Really?
It's just, oh. I mean, I've been blessed with who I'm working with. And yeah, I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine not having live music on stage now. Hark at me. Like, this is the guy that, like, has a pre-recorded thing just on playback usually. But yeah, just I would love to make another work with music. And I'm also really, I'd like to kind of explore the same ideas that we're touching upon in a different way. I'm really interested in, I'm really interested in English folklore and where it comes from. And I feel like I'm reading a book by Stephen Ellick at the minute, which is called Albion, not England on Fire. And it's about the other England that exists. It's quite hard to explain, but we have the England that we all know, its history, the good and the bad and the downright horrible. But there's the England of fantasy, and there's the England of our minds as people that live, or the Britain. Like, I mean, that one is about England specifically, but the stories of the British Isles and how they form an intrinsic identity that we don't often talk about, and where they come from, because they come from all over the world. You know, stories from the British Isles are from everywhere on the planet. We are a melting pot here. Yeah, we're a melting pot here, and there's something about that I'm really interested in. At the minute, while I've been working on Roma and exploring the idea of like folklore and old English music and kind of where we are in Europe, that's something that I keep getting drawn back to, this kind of idea of the British Isles in our mind.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. That sounds so interesting. I love that idea of about like the perception of stories of England, but not from England. Like that almost it's got this such a massive kind of cultural reach that people that have never been here and maybe even would never come here have a really clear idea about what it is.
Yeah, we're kind really of like, interesting. We don't like, you know, when even St. George, like, you know, he was not English. Like, he was not from England. He was from a completely different place in the world. And, you know, as soon as you start looking, you think, wow, God, the world and borders and, you know, borders don't end with land and sea. And we need to stop doing that.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your time. It's been really, really wonderful to speak to you. And good luck with the tour. So exciting.
Thank you.
The creative team from Roma were here a few weeks ago working on the piece. Yeah, and they created a lot of interest. So I think there's a lot of people that can't wait to see it. And it arrives at Queen's Hall on the 2nd of December.
Amazing. Yeah, do get your tickets. And actually, it's selling out at a rapid speed, this show.
Yeah, it's going to a lot of like really interesting venues. I think it's at Durham Cathedral and it's sold out.
It's already sold out. Yeah.
And it's obviously that's a massive venue.
Yeah.
We're later in the run, so you've still got a bit of time to get your tickets at Queen's Hall.
But it's been really exciting just watching Instagram as it's come out and just people just absolutely just so excited about this work. And so if you want to see it, make sure you get your tickets because it is selling out everywhere it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. I think it's been a long time in the making as well. I think that's always people really kind of buy into that and want to follow the journey a little bit. So there's obviously more information on our website and tickets are available still at Queen's Hall.
And Kelly, if people want more information or tickets for anything, what's the best way of doing that?
Yeah, so you can take a look at our website, which is queenshall.co.uk for more information on everything that we've got coming up. We do pop things on there quite regularly, so I would recommend checking back every so often and also keeping an eye on our socials. So you can find us across the board using the handle Queen's Hall.
Amazing. So thank you so much. Lovely to chat to you as always, Kelly.
You too.
And I hope that we get to chat actually in person sometime. For those of you that don't know, this is all recorded online, so we're not actually in a room together.
We should do an in-person version though, shouldn't we?
Should we?
Perhaps real life.
Perhaps with coffee and cakes. Yes. Amazing. Oh, well, have lovely weeks, everybody, and we will catch you again really soon. Bye.
Bye.